Well, good morning. Good morning, Lynn Haven Campus. Good morning, Facebook World. Good to be with you today. Net Academy is the school that I volunteer at as a part of our 4R Schools initiatives. Been there several times this month, and it really is inspiring to see the staff and their commitment to those students. And wherever you're, whatever school you might be interested in being a part of, I just encourage you to go to gracebible.church/4hourschools to take that step if you'd like to do that. And today, we are in week three of our sermon series, Life's Healing Choices. And I said it 2 weeks ago, I'm going to keep saying it. This is a very narrow sermon series. This message today only applies to a few of us, and I'm sorry, that's not the way we usually do things, but this message only applies to people who know they need help with something in life. If your life is like going perfect and you don't need help with anything, you don't have any hurts, habits, hangups, or know someone who does, then I'm sorry, this just isn't going to be for you. This is for the rest of us. You might know somebody, you can bring them next week, but I'm not kidding when I say that this is for those of us who realize we need help. And so that's where we're going today. And as we look at life's healing choices in the midst of this series, it's connected to our Celebrate Recovery Ministry, which happens on Monday night and is going to start in Norfolk on Tuesday nights in just a few weeks. And today we are in choice number three. And so before we get to choice number three, I want to talk about the past 2 weeks and just sort of tell you where we've been, catch you up so we're all on the same page. Choice number one, realize I'm not God. Now, even if you don't believe in God, that's a good thing to realize, right? It should be easy if you don't believe in God because you know you're not Him. But realize I'm not God and admit that I am powerless to control my tendency to do the wrong thing. I do the wrong thing even when I don't want to do the wrong thing. Big things, little things. And that my life is unmanageable. Now, some people have gotten hung up on the word unmanageable. It doesn't mean that every area of your life is spinning wildly out of control. It means that the more we look at our lives, the more we realize that we are not in control. We're not in control. And we just need to recognize that more and more and more, and that opens us up to the second choice. And choice number two, Keith talked about this last week. Earnestly believe that God exists, that I matter to Him, and that He has the power to help me recover. If you don't like the word recover, you could say grow or heal, that God has the power to help you grow or heal or overcome or recover whatever might be going on in your life. So I'm not God, there is a God, and He is for me. Those are the first two choices that we need to take as we two things we need to believe. Now, this leads us to the third choice today, which actually I think is more difficult than the first two. Now, it follows along, so it builds on the previous two, but today gets more difficult. Here's why today gets more difficult. Today moves from just believing something. I believe I'm not God. Oh, okay, I can believe I'm not God. I believe that God is for me and He has the power to help me. Well, I guess if there is a God, He could help me if He wanted to. Okay, I could believe that. Today's choice is going to require action. Today's choice is not just something to believe. Today's choice is a step to take. It's an action to take. It's being willing to look at your life and maybe even today to be open to what God would want to say to you about what He wants to do in your life. And as I think about what today we're going to be invited to do, I was just thinking about it, and I was thinking that for many of us, this is going to be difficult, especially if you've been a Christian for a long time. If you're a longtime church person, if you're a longtime follower of Jesus, today actually might be more difficult for you than someone who's newer. And here's why. I'm worried that for some, it will seem a choice too familiar. That when you hear what we're going to talk about today, you're going to say, oh, goodness, I've tried that before. It didn't work. I didn't get the results I wanted. That didn't solve my problems. It's a choice too familiar. If you have that thought today, if at any point in the next 30 minutes you think to yourself, I've already done that, I just want to ask you, would you stay with me? Would you stay with me and consider that God might want to meet you even in something that is familiar to you? Now, the second perspective is this. For some, it will seem a choice too difficult. It will seem a choice too difficult. Maybe it's a choice difficult because you're yet to believe in God. And that's still something that seems strange to you. Maybe you've been coming to Grace for a while. You've been coming. You've been meeting some people. But you're just not sure about the whole Jesus thing. I understand that could be difficult for you. And so I get it, that this will be a little bit of a challenge. Anytime we're pushed to action, that's a difficult step. But here's why I want you to take this step with me. Here's why I want you to choose to follow with me today. The reason is that the more we look at our lives, the more we recognize that first choice that we're not God and we're not in control, the more we're willing to peel back the layers of our relationships, our disappointments, our hopes that have not been met, our dreams unfulfilled, the more we do that, the more we have to wrestle with, we're forced to wrestle with the pain and the painful and difficult parts of life. Now, for some of you, the pain and the difficulty of life is front and center in your mind. And you came in today, and when I say you might feel tired, you think, yeah, I feel exhausted. And not just the kind of exhausted that I experienced this weekend. We were in Florida with some friends for a couple days, and we were staying with friends who have a 5-year-old, a 3-year-old, and a newborn. They are exhausted all the time. I felt so bad, and we were leaving. I said, hey, I just want you to know, if you feel exhausted all the time, that makes sense, because you should be. Like, oh my gosh, you know, yesterday morning when I got up, I said, hey, how'd it go? And because I'd heard, you know, like throughout the night, there were kids around. And they said, yeah, you know, I was laying with my kid and then he threw up all over me. I'm like, oh, okay. So that's a time of exhaustion. I'm not actually talking about that kind of exhaustion. That's tough while you're in it. That's not the kind of exhaustion I'm talking about. I'm talking about the emotional exhaustion. I'm talking about when you've longed for life to be a certain way and it's not. I'm talking about when a child or a loved one is making a choice that's bringing you pain and hanging on another day feels almost impossible. That's where God wants to meet us today. And sometimes that happens outside of us, and sometimes it happens through our own actions. There's this school of thought called the cycle of despair. I'd love to show you the cycle of despair. Isn't that happy today? It's not the pit of despair. That's from The Princess Bride. We're not going to go into the pit of despair. This is the cycle of despair, and it goes like this. It begins with guilt, and you feel bad about something you did or you didn't do. Big thing, little thing. When we feel guilty, if we don't know how to deal with it, guilt leads us to anger. And you can be angry at yourself, you can be angry at someone else, you can be angry at people you don't even know. Anger can take all these different forms. And guilt leads to anger, leads to fear. What if things don't change? What if I can't? What if she doesn't? What if he won't? And if we live in this cycle of guilt and anger and fear, eventually it leads us to depression because we can't see a way out. And this cycle is something that we all have to wrestle with throughout our lives. I mean, the good news is this isn't unique to you. This isn't unique to me. The good thing is that this isn't even determinant in your life. This isn't something that can be escaped. But today, Jesus wants to invite us to make a choice, to move towards him so that he can meet us wherever we might be on that cycle of despair. And to help us think about this, I just want to remind you of something before we continue with the choice, and that's this. These choices, these are life's healing choices, not life's getting life under my control. These are life's healing choices. This is not getting life under my control. This is not God's way for you to get what you want from God. This is not a way to control or manage someone else. These are the choices we can make to surrender to what God wants to do in us. Because the truth is, most of life is out of our control, and the more easily we open our hands and live embracing that reality, the more freedom and life and peace we will experience. So today, as we move forward, I just want to challenge you with this idea. And here it is. Today, will you believe that you know best, or will you make the next choice Jesus invites you to make? Will you believe that you know best? Will you insist that you know the way forward, and that if everyone else would just get on board with your plan, then everything would go the way you want it to do? Will you insist that you know best, or will you make the choice that Jesus invites you to make? Now, this actually isn't even like the official Celebrate Recovery life-sealing choice. This is just the preamble. I want to challenge you today. I want to ask you, would you be willing, even if you're not sure you believe it, would you be willing for just a few minutes to allow the thought to enter your mind, maybe you don't know. Maybe I don't know. Maybe today your Heavenly Father wants to say something to you, do something in you that you didn't see coming, that you didn't plan for. And maybe he even, for some of us, wants to use a familiar passage to do it. See, today we're going to hear from Jesus. Today we're going to allow Jesus to guide us, to direct us, and we're going to hear Jesus speaking words to us. Speaking words over us, and he's speaking to a specific kind of person. He's speaking to people who are overwhelmed with life. In fact, this passage has been so comforting to me and has been so comforting to so many. Before we sort of get into it, I just want to read it to you. And if today you come in and you're exhausted or overwhelmed, I would love for you to receive this passage like a cool drink of water to a thirsty soul. These are Jesus' words as recorded by his friend Matthew, who wrote the gospel. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If you didn't know this about Jesus, this is Jesus' heart for you. Let's start again at the top and notice some things about this passage. The first thing is that Jesus says, come to me. He invites you to come to him. He invites you to take a step. He invites you to move towards him. It's easy for us to hold Jesus at arm's length. It's easy to think that if we go, it might be scary. He might ask of something. We're not sure if we can trust him. But he says to you today, come to me. And he calls a certain kind of person. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. I love that. I love that Jesus is looking for weary and burdened people to come to him. If you've been around a church or grew up in a church that made it sound like in order to come to Jesus, you had to straighten up, look good, shine up. Everything needs to be pretty and polished before you come to Jesus. That's not Jesus. Jesus looks at you today and he says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. That's why this seems too familiar. If you're thinking, oh, good night, Eric. I already know this verse. I already know Jesus says, come to me, and this seems too familiar to you. I want you to just come with me for a few minutes. Because Jesus doesn't say, come to me, you who are weary and burdened, and I will solve all your problems. That's not what he says. He doesn't say, come to me, and you'll get what you want, and I'll make it go your way. That's not what he says. That's so often how we approach him. Or we think that we're in some sort of like, I will if you will relationship. No. Jesus says, look back at the passage. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. And what will I give you? I'll give you rest for your tired heart, for your weary soul. And then he continues. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And he says it again, and you will find rest for your souls. Now, this idea of taking my yoke upon you, indulge me for just a minute, but I'm going to go Bible geek on you for a few minutes. And if you're not into Bible geek, Eric, I get it. That's fine. But it's a part of me. And so I want to dive in here, because usually, oftentimes when we're reading the Bible and you're reading it in English and you can make sense and you can figure out how it works, this isn't one of those times. There's something going on here that is easy to miss. And here's the challenge. The challenge is that even if you were to look up the word yoke in a Greek dictionary, even if you were to find the exact meaning of the word yoke in a Greek dictionary, you would miss the meaning of the passage. Because this is one of those times where the phrasing gives the word a different meaning than it has in regular life. I want to give you an illustration that my kids will make fun of me for. I want to give you an illustration that some of you will have never heard of before, and others of you, again, you can laugh at me. That's cool. But it's an illustration of a modern word that functions in the exact same way the word yoke functions, in that what it means is different than the meaning of the phrase. I'll just tell you what it is. Here you go. Here's the phrase. Are you familiar with this phrase? What's the T? Are you familiar with this? I mean, I'm not like personally, except I heard my kids using it like this summer, and it turns out it's been around for years and years and years. Now, just for those of you who are over 40 with me, it's not asking what you want in your tea. It's not talking about something they drink in England at noontime. It's not about lemon or honey or sugar or milk. It's a phrase that just means, what's the scoop? What's the gossip? What's going on? At least I think that's what it means when I looked it up. What's the tea? Now, here's the problem. If you were to, 200 years from now, look back and you were to see the phrase, what's the tea, in some literature, and you didn't know what it meant, and you went and you opened a dictionary, which is funny because, again, nobody opens dictionaries anymore. When was the last time you opened a dictionary? But dictionaries, they used to be paper. I know. It's crazy. They used to be paper. They were heavy and they were big and you had to open them. And you had to flip the pages. So crazy. But now, if you were to Google definition of the word tea, you wouldn't understand the phrase. Because culture has taken the phrase and made it something different than what the specific word means. That's the exact same thing that happened with this idea of a yoke. If you were to look up in your English to Greek dictionary the word yoke, you would find something that relates to oxen. That it's something that farmers use, and you yoke two oxen together, you hitch two oxen together, and then they plow together. And this passage is often interpreted in that light because it's easy to just go to the Greek English dictionary and find the meaning of the word, but that's not actually what it means. The idea isn't that you and Jesus are hitched together and Jesus is doing the heavy lifting. That's not his point. In the first century, the yoke was the specific teaching of a Pharisee or a rabbi. See, Jesus was a rabbi. Jesus was a Jewish rabbi, a Jewish teacher. And there were many, many rabbis in Jesus' day. And all of the different rabbis had different interpretations of the Jewish law. All of the rabbis had different yokes. The yoke referred to the rabbi's interpretation. And there were many, many rabbis who interpreted the Jewish law in a way that was difficult to obey, in a way that pressed people down, in a way that sometimes elevated leaders and pressed down followers. And Jesus is saying, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. And he's going to say, take my yoke, take my teaching, take my new way of relating to your heavenly Father upon you. Jesus is introducing, through his teaching, a way of relating to God that had never been seen before. Not through rules and obedience and fear, but through God coming to his people through Jesus to offer a sacrifice for sin, even when we didn't ask for it or deserve it. And we can actually see this if we look at the passage, because it makes a little more sense why he uses the word learn. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Again, because the yoke is his teaching. Come and learn my teaching. And how does Jesus describe himself in the context of his teaching? He says, I am gentle and humble in heart. If you think of Jesus as someone who is harsh and judgmental and difficult to please, you don't know Jesus. Because Jesus comes to you and his yoke, his teaching, comes from a place of gentleness and humility. Come to me, all of you weary people, and find rest for your souls. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from my teaching, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And Jesus' teaching leads to rest for your soul. If following Jesus feels exhausting, if following Jesus seems overwhelming, we're not following Jesus. Because as we follow Jesus, he invites rest for our souls. And then at the end of the passage, he refers to the yoke again. He says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. For my teaching is easy. Not necessarily easy to understand, but the burden, it's not burdensome. Easy and burden go together there. It's a wordplay. When you begin to follow my teaching, it's not going to weigh you down. It's not going to overwhelm you. It's light. It will bring rest to your soul. Well, why is that? Why is his yoke easy and his burden light? Because Jesus knew what was going to happen. Jesus knew that he was on his way to the cross to give his life, to lay his life down for our sin. See, every other yoke, every other rabbi taught that you had to perform well enough in order for God to accept you. And Jesus came along and said, no, 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 no. Jesus would offer the sacrifice for sin so that by our faith in him, we would receive forgiveness. It doesn't get any easier for us than Jesus going to the cross. He did all of the heavy lifting. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. And it's because of what he has taught us and how he backed it up with his life that we can trust him. Not that we will get everything we want, but that we can offer him our lives. And the choice, or the principle number three that we're looking at today, is this. Principle number three, or we could say choice number three. One, two, three, week three. Here we go. Consciously choose to commit all my life and will to Christ's care and control. Come to Jesus, Take his yoke upon you. Allow him to give rest to your souls and trust him with your life. Take a step towards him. I'm going to summarize this principle like this. Choose to come to Jesus, because that's what Jesus said. Jesus said, come to me. His invitation to us today is come. Will you come? And you and I have to choose if we will come to Jesus. Now again, if you're thinking, Eric, I've tried that and my life's still a mess. He doesn't promise that your life won't be a mess. He promises rest for your soul. And when I demand that he perform or he do or he give me, I missed out on the rest that he offers me. Choose to come to Jesus. Now here's the amazing thing. This is how we begin following Jesus. And this is how we follow Jesus through our whole lives. This is the first thing we do as we begin to follow Jesus. And this is the deepest thing a follower of Jesus can do for their entire lives. So I was thinking about, okay, choose to come to Jesus. Okay, well, how do we break this down further? Okay, so I want to break it down into two different ways we come to Jesus, and hopefully this will be helpful. The first is this. Come to Jesus. Jesus says, come to me. Come to Jesus in your heart. In your heart, that's what in your emotional life, in the seat of your being, to choose to follow him, to believe rightly about Jesus. And when we think about coming to Jesus with our heart, with our mind and what we believe, it's number one, believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you and proved he was God by coming back to life. Just stop there at number one. This is how we begin to follow Jesus. And it could be that you have been here week after week, month after month after month, unsure, not sure exactly what it means to follow Jesus. And maybe today is the day that you are beginning to believe for the first time that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you and proved he was God by rising, by coming back to life, by rising from the dead. We never get beyond this. But we don't want to get stuck right here. Because it's not just believing, it's knowing that this offers us the free forgiveness for your sins. Because of what we believe Jesus did, we can accept God's free forgiveness for your sins. Let me just remind everyone, a lot of us have been in church a long time, let me just remind all of us, we never outgrow our need for forgiveness. Ever. You'll never move beyond it. I was talking with a fellow staff member earlier today, and we were talking about the fact that we should expect, this is important, what we believe about Jesus dying and rising from the dead and the offer of forgiveness of sins, we should expect people in our lives to disappoint us. You should expect people you care about to hurt you and disappoint you, because that's what people do. And that's why over and over and over again, we believe in Jesus and we ask for forgiveness. We begin to follow Jesus like that. We continue to follow Jesus like that. It doesn't surprise us, because it's always based on what he did. Now that's what we believe. But it's not just believing with your heart. There's one other thing we need to think about, and that's coming to Jesus with your feet. Ever thought about that? You need to come to Jesus with your feet. It's hard to come to someone and not move your feet. Ever thought about that? We just want to come to Jesus in our heart and leave our feet planted. Uh-uh. Doesn't work like that. You can't just sit in your seat and say, oh yeah, I just believe Jesus in my heart, but my feet just go where I want them to go. No, 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 no. Jesus wants your feet. He wants you to move where he wants you to move. He wants you to go where he wants you to go. He wants you to do what he wants you to do. So that is to make the next choice Jesus is inviting you to make. What is the choice he is inviting you to make? Choose to come to Jesus. What does that mean for you with your feet? Now, here's the cool thing about this message for me. The great thing about this message for me is that while the application is specific and that we choose to come to Jesus with our heart and we come to Jesus with our feet, I don't know where Jesus wants you to go. I have no idea what he wants you to do. But I think you do. I think many of us right now, there is a stirring in our hearts. There's something that's coming to our mind. There's something that makes us nervous that he is bringing up in us. And the question is, will you choose to come to Jesus with your feet? Will you obey? Will you surrender? Will you commit your life to his care and control, not just in here, but with how you live? I was brainstorming a list. It's a very incomplete list. Things he might be calling you to do, calling me to do. Attend Celebrate Recovery on a Monday night. Join a community group. Confess a sin. If you have sin in your life that you're hiding, you got a secret you're hiding. He wants you to come clean with the people who love you. And you're thinking to yourself, but Eric, if I come clean, my life will blow up. Your life is already blown up. Do you want to start to put it back together? That's the question. Confess. Maybe you need to confess. Maybe you need to begin to give generously because you've been holding back as God prompts you. Maybe you need to share honestly. Maybe you need to get baptized. If you're a follower of Jesus and you've not been baptized, he invites you to take that step to be baptized. I don't know if you're familiar with what it means to be baptized. It's actually really weird. If you're not familiar with baptism, it's really weird, but people have been doing it for 2,000 years, so we just go with it. The idea is, it's in the Bible, so we go. There's lots of weird stuff in the Bible we go with. The idea is that it's associating your life with Jesus. And so we have a big tub, big tank that we put on stage, and we fill it with warm water, and we keep it warm. And you come into the tub, and you go under the water for a moment, and that's symbolizing of being buried with Christ. And you come up out of the water, and it's symbolizing being raised to new life in Christ. It's a part of following Jesus. It's moving your feet, taking a step. Maybe that's you. Maybe you need to be baptized. I mean, I was just making this stuff up today. Forgive, read your Bible. I don't know. You know. Will you choose to come to Jesus? Come to me. All you who are weary, will you choose to come to Jesus? I mean, man, it's such a good offer. Why would we not come to Jesus? Well, there are lots of good reasons. Here are three. Why not come to Jesus? Pride. I think my way's better. I don't trust. Guilt. I'm not sure that he can forgive even my sin. Fear. I don't know. Maybe he'll ask me to do something I'm not comfortable with. These are all valid reasons. But I want you to know your Heavenly Father loves you. He does know better than you. You can lay your pride down. I want you to know that when Jesus died on the cross, his death and resurrection paid for the sins of the entire world. He can handle whatever mess you've gotten yourself into. And you don't have to be afraid because he has already demonstrated his love for you and his perfect love casts out fear. Today, will you choose to come to Jesus? Will you choose to come to Jesus? Now, I want to make this really practical. I want to ask you to do something today. I'm going to ask everybody to grab this Connect card that's in the chair in front of them. And I'm going to ask you to do it even if you don't plan on playing along with me. That's fine. I just want you to grab the card because maybe somebody next to you wants to, and you're going to make it awkward for them if you don't. So just play along. Let's do it for somebody else. Even if you're one of the people and you got everything together, that's cool. What we're going to do in just a minute, I'm going to give you a second to write down whatever action step it means for you to come to Jesus. But here's what you need to know. If we can help you join a group, if you want to get baptized, if we can help you in any way, you need to give us your name and your phone number and your email. If your step is just between you and God, I still want to ask you to write it down. Just put your first name there. Be completely anonymous. Just put your first name and write whatever it means for you to come to Jesus. If today you're becoming a follower of Jesus for the first time, check this box. If you've not been baptized, on the back you can check baptism. You can, whatever it is. But I want to give you about 60 seconds, not to make something up, but to respond to however Jesus is leading you today. Take a few moments. Today we're not going to ask you to turn these cards in a basket or at the door. I'm actually just going to invite you to leave it on your seat before you go. But before we do, I'd like to pray for you. I'd like to pray for us. I'd like to pray for those of you who are beginning to follow Jesus for the first time and for those of us who are hearing his voice. And as we choose to come to Jesus, we are afraid. We're not sure how it's going to go. And then we're going to sing a closing song together. And we're going to sing a song that says, "Come to the altar, the Father's arms are open wide." And we're going to sing and declare that as Jesus invites us to come, he invites us to come not with his arms crossed, but with his arms open. So would you stand with me today? Would you stand and allow me to pray for us? And then we'll respond through song. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and we thank you for the words of Jesus who says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." I pray for every exhausted person, every fearful person, everyone weighed down by guilt and shame, anxiety, depression. And I pray that you would give us rest for our souls. I pray that you would meet us. I pray that even as we go home to the same circumstances we walked out of today, I pray that you would do something in us as we come to you. Please meet us, Jesus. We just look to you and acknowledge that we are out of control and we are not God, but we believe that you are. We come to you, and I pray for every person who has never put their faith in Jesus and believed, Jesus, that you are God and that you did rise from the dead for the forgiveness of our sins. I pray that you would move in our hearts to follow you, to take that step, to come to you, and to begin to follow you today. And we pray this in Jesus' name.